12:30 here at the church to go to the Parkville Animal Shelter for their October service project, and that'll be until about 2:30 this afternoon. Also, the Fall Festival is today at the Thomas's house, beginning at 4 o'clock. Please bring your favorite side dish or dessert, and certainly a lawn chair so you can join everybody around the bonfire. And as it's only going to be about, 55 degrees, I think we're going to be a little closer to that fire this year than we normally might be. You know, just three Sundays ago, I was complaining about the heat and thinking, you know, hopefully it might be cooler. Well, I don't know that we were thinking quite this cool. But anyway, we'll see how that works out. Look forward to seeing you this afternoon. Halloween party for our children, Sunday the 29th of October, 1:30. Information about that in the bulletin. Also, Chris Martinson is offering the personal portrait Christmas ornament cutouts. Information about that in your bulletin as well. And also be mindful of the various meetings that are taking place in the life of the church. And those details are in that announcement page as well. And Spencer, we are so delighted that you're here with us this morning as you're taking Ryan's place. And thank you for leading us in our call to worship. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3, as we may stand, please.
We will always thank the Lord.
We will never stop praising him.
We will praise him for what he has done. May all who are oppressed listen and be glad.
May we proclaim the Lord's greatness.
Let us praise his name forever.
Holy and gracious God, we rejoice in the privilege to offer worship to your holy name. We pray that the meditations of our hearts and minds will indeed be acceptable to you, as we are also empowered by your great grace and by the blessing of your Holy Spirit's guidance. For it's in Christ's name that we give thanks as we lift up worship to you. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now, and ever shall be. Amen. Amen.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors. And may our children come forward for the children's message, please.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus. Tell them to me.
Well, good morning. How are you guys this morning? Oh, yay. I love it when I actually get a response. So, today I want to talk about when we try to do something and it doesn't quite work. We don't do it right. So, let's see. How many of you have bicycles or tricycles that you ride? Do you have bicycles or tricycles that you ride? Yeah? When you first learned to do your bicycle, did you do it right the first time? No. So, or when we try to learn something new, we don't usually get it the first time, do we? We have to try it. We have to try more than once, don't we? We mess up, we fail, but do we decide just because we didn't get it right the first time, do we decide, nope, we're not going to do it anymore? Does mom say, oh, you messed up, why try anymore? Mom doesn't say that, does she? Mom and dad say, I know you can do it. Let's keep trying. Let's keep practicing. Let's keep working at it. They encourage us, don't they? And they cheer for us. That's what Jesus does too. He is always there to encourage us, to cheer for us, to give us the courage to keep going. As a matter of fact, in the book of Philippians, in the book of Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Doesn't mean God and Jesus are going to get superpowers. It means that he'll always be there to help give you courage, to encourage you to keep trying. And to keep going. And eventually we get it right, don't we? Absolutely. Absolutely. Shall we have a prayer? Can we have prayer hands, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for these beautiful children. We thank you for always being there to help encourage us, to help lead us forward, to help us always remember to keep trying, to keep going, to keep progressing. We ask that each and every day you are with us and help us learn something new every day. We ask your will be done in all things, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer this morning, I'm delighted to report that I have not heard of any additional coronavirus cases. Praise God. We're grateful for that. Hope everybody is progressing well and making good progress. Jerry, it's a joy to see you here this morning. Bless you. Glad you're here. We keep Betty in prayer as she's continuing to seek out more diagnostic issues for herself. We also keep in prayer Susan Hanks as she continues that recovery from the neck surgery. We lift up Doug and Gail Gentry as Doug will be seeing the hematologist Thursday of this week to learn more about how things are progressing with that blood clotting issue he had when they were on their vacation trip. Otherwise, I think everybody else is pretty much steady. Many of the people we've been lifting up in prayer. So we are grateful for that fact that we've not had anyone in the hospital now for several days, which is really pretty good journey for us. Praise God for that. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and holy God, we offer you praise for the privilege granted to us to lift up worship and songs of praise to your holy name, as we also find guidance from your holy word and comfort from your Holy Spirit's presence among us. As we have lifted up the names of individuals and families near and dear to us, we know, O God, that you know of their concerns and wish to offer your great grace, comfort, and assurance through the difficulties they are experiencing. Yet, as the news of ongoing acts of violence prevail throughout regions of the world, we are aware that millions the world over are so adversely affected through injury and death, and also through the loss of their homes, businesses, as indeed, in many cases, their entire communities. We mourn the truth that forces of evil continue to unleash innumerable acts of violence that have caused so much hardship upon so many. And we pray, O God, that there may be an end to such hardship. Yet, in the meantime, as multitudes will strive to render aid and comfort and seek to rebuild communities, we pray, O God, that we may also find it in our hearts to seek after your guidance and comfort to be a benefit to others. May we find great assurance in the words of our Lord Jesus, even as the immense suffering of the cross stood before him. For Jesus our Lord assured his disciples, as he also assures us today. For in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 24, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." We rest in the assurance of Christ's words, O God, as we also lean into the guidance of your Holy Spirit while we recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. Oh, yes, Lord. Sometimes I'm almost to the ground. But Jesus, Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Glory, hallelujah. If you get there before
In Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verse 3, the text says, "Listen now, my people, and come to me. Come to me, and you will have life. I will make a lasting covenant with you." This lasting covenant was fulfilled in Christ our Lord when he lifted up the cup while sharing with his disciples at the Last Supper, as he said to them, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." As we gather at the Lord's table this morning, may we remember that each time we lift up the cup and partake, we are renewing our covenant relationship with God and embracing our willingness to follow in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. We turn to our communion hymn, "Beneath the Forms of Outward Rite," as we sing hymn number 406, all stanzas, please.
In our daily life may flame.
Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Mary leads us in a word of prayer.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we gather at your table today, we never want to forget to thank you for your sacrifice at Calvary to take away our sins. Never let us forget you, and we worship and praise you each and every day. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
Revelation chapter 14, verse 13 states, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this down. Happy are those who from now on die in the service of the Lord. Yes, indeed, answers the Spirit. They will enjoy rest from their hard work because the results of their service will go with them." Seeing the results of our efforts at the end of a day can be most satisfying. The sense of accomplishment brings us peace and a sense of joy. Yet here this text of Revelation chapter 14 reminds us that a great measure of happiness comes our way when we believe our efforts are for the cause of God's great work, recognizing, as the text tells us, that the results of our hard work will go with us, even into the knowledge and experience of God's eternal kingdom. With these thoughts in mind, Anna leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings.
Lord, in today's world, we come with heavy hearts and minds. Our resources may be limited, but we know with your guidance and blessings, our offerings will collectively be mighty and be used to show love and kindness. Lord, we ask for your blessing on these offerings in Jesus' name. Amen.
May we stand? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and the Holy Lord God, we pray these offerings are used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. This morning our scripture text is rather lengthy in one portion, but the other portion is a bit short. The first text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, here. This is the chapter where Paul is talking about this tent that we live in, that it's going to be torn down one day, but that God will have a home in heaven for us to live in, a home that he himself has made that will last forever. And at the balance of that commentary at the end here, Paul tells us in the 10th verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For all of us must appear before Christ to be judged by him. Each one will receive what he deserves according to everything one has done, good or bad, in this bodily life. And then the lengthy text. This is the parable of the three servants. Jesus tells us this story just before his discussion about the second coming in Matthew's gospel, the 25th chapter. The 14th verse begins, "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like this." So again, he's giving us a hint about, okay, when everything concludes here in this earthly world with Christ's second coming, the kingdom of God will be like this. And he's setting up for the notion that there will be an accounting of how the servants have used the resources that have been given to them. And so Jesus tells us this parable. "Once there was a man who was about to leave home on a trip. He called his servants and put them in charge of his property. He gave each one according to his ability. To one he gave 5,000 coins, to another he gave 2,000, and to another he gave 1,000. And then he left on his trip. The servant who had received 5,000 coins went at once and invested his money and earned another 5. And the same way, the servant who had received 2,000 coins earned another 2,000. But the servant who had received 1,000 coins went off, dug a hole in the ground, and put his master's money there. After a long time, the master of the servants came back and settled accounts with them. The servant who had received 5,000 coins came in and handed over the 5,000. He said, 'You gave me 5,000 coins, sir. Look, here's another 5,000 that I've earned.' 'Well done, you good and faithful servant,' said the master. 'You have been faithful in managing small amounts, so I will put you in charge of large amounts. Come on in and share my happiness.' Then the servant who had been given 2,000 coins came in and said, 'You gave me 2,000, sir, and look, here are another 2,000 that I've earned.' 'Well done, you good and faithful servant,' said the master. 'You've been faithful in managing small amounts, so I will put you in charge of large amounts. Come on in and share my happiness.' And then the servant who had received 1,000 coins came in and said, 'Sir, I know that you are a hard man. You reap harvest where you do not plant, and you gather crops where you did not scatter seed. I was afraid, so I went off and hid your money in the ground. Look, here is what belongs to you.' 'You bad and lazy servant,' his master said, 'you knew, did you, that I reap harvest where I did not plant and gather crops where I did not scatter seed? Well then, you should have deposited my money in the bank, and I would have received it back, and certainly with interest. Now, take the money away from him and give it to the one who has 10,000 coins. For to every person who has something, even more will be given, and he who has will have more than enough. But the person who has nothing, even that little will be taken away from him. As for this useless servant, throw him outside in the darkness, and there he will cry and gnash his teeth.'" Certainly a very harsh kind of commentary here, we may think, about how the third servant is indeed judged. May we pray. Holy and gracious God, as believers, we rejoice in the truth that we are indeed saved by your grace and our willingness to humbly seek forgiveness of our sins, as we also affirm Christ as Lord and Savior. But may none of us rest easy in our salvation, but rather, may we be compelled to use the resources you give us in our earthly lives to bring further glory to your kingdom's work here on earth. For even as the rapture will one day occur, so also will we believers stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's in Christ's name that we offer this prayer. Amen. Last week in our fourth message about this afterlife series, we explored the rapture and explained that it was the beginning of the second coming of Christ. In the rapture, Jesus will come down from heaven with the assembly of his angelic forces, but he will remain in the clouds. It is in the clouds that Christ will assemble all believers, the saints of the Church of Jesus Christ. Those who have died and their spirits have resided in the temporary spiritual realm called paradise will be gathered up along with those believers who will be living on the earth at the time that Christ appears. It is while believers are assembled in the clouds with Christ that many biblical scholars and lay people alike believe that they will stand before what is called the judgment seat of Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us of this judgment seat in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, the text I read to you earlier. As the text says, "For all of us must appear before Christ to be judged by him. Each one will receive what he deserves according to everything one has done, whether good or bad, in this bodily form." The emphasis is also placed in Romans chapter 14, verse 10, where again, here the Apostle Paul writes, "For we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Now, the Greek word Paul uses for this judgment seat is the word bema. In Paul's day, it was a raised platform on which judges sat to review athletic games. Their job was to make sure that contestants followed the game's rules and to also award the victors their prizes. These judges sitting on the bema never reprimanded or punished the athletes. In the same way, Paul believes when Christ takes his place at his bema or judgment seat, Christ will not be condemning us, but only placing judgment, if you will, on how we have played this game of life as Christian believers. This judgment seat of Christ has nothing to do with our salvation. Believers will rest in the redemption already provided by Christ. As Jesus said of himself in John chapter 5, verse 24, "Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall what? Be saved." But what we must understand is that all believers in Christ will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an accounting of what one has done with the resources God has given in the course of one's lifetime. The parable I shared with you from Matthew 25 about the three servants who were given the responsibility for the master's resources while the master was away is a warning given to those listening to Jesus as much as it serves as a warning for Christ believers in every generation since. The warning is that there will be an accounting at the time of Christ's second coming. And it's even made rather clear in the verse that begins that parable. Again, as I mentioned to you, Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 states that at the time the kingdom of heaven will be like this. In other words, at the unfolding of the Christ coming in the second coming and the unfolding of the new kingdom of God, the new Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth, this is what it will be like here, Jesus is saying. And what's the first thing that's going to happen? An accounting of the servants while the master has been gone. Now, the judgment exacted upon the third servant in that parable, who does nothing more than bury the master's resources, seems in our minds to be rather harsh. But then, from Christ's perspective, surely there is nothing more important than believers using God's resources in the best ways possible for the furtherance of God's work here on earth. In another portion of his writings, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes again about believers being servants of God. Beginning in the 9th verse of this chapter, Paul also tells believers that we are also, if you will, God's building. Continuing in the chapter, Paul emphasizes that Christ is the foundation upon which the building is built. Paul also tells us that using the gifts that God gave him, Paul has done the work of an excellent builder, an expert builder, he says, which we know certainly was the case as his evangelistic efforts had such a huge impact upon spreading the gospel news. But Paul goes on to say, as he's directing his attention to other believers, that each one must be careful how one builds. Some will use gold or silver or precious stones in building on the foundation, and others will use wood or grass or straw. And the quality of each person's work will be seen when the day of Christ exposes it. Now, what is this day of Christ being referred to here in the 13th verse? Certainly, this is another clear reference to the rapture and the beginning of Christ's second coming. For on the day of Christ, the text tells us in the latter portion of verse 13 that fire will reveal everyone's work. The fire will test it and show its real quality. As verse 14 continues, if what was built on the foundation survives the fire, the builder will receive a reward. Again, here we have a reference to some kind of a reward, just as Paul had written in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Each one will receive what one deserves according to everything one has done, good or bad, in this bodily life. But as Paul continues, he does give us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, an encouraging measure that, you know, even if our works don't survive, the truth of the matter is our salvation does, right? Here, verse 15, but if anyone's work is burnt up, then he will lose it. In other words, lose the reward. But if he himself will be saved as if he had escaped through the fire. Now, the parable of the three servants that Jesus tells and these segments from Paul's letters tell you and me that we can certainly feel comfort in the assurance of our salvation through God's great grace, Christ's sacrifice, and our willingness to repent of our sin and to welcome Christ into our lives as Savior. But let's also be warned, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be required to give an accounting as to how we have used the resources that God has entrusted to us. If we've used God's resources only for our self-centered interest, then we've been building with wood and stubble, and our efforts will be burned up and are useless before the fires of Christ's judgment. If we've used God's resources for the benefit of others, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, then we have built, as Paul tells us, with gold, silver, and precious stones, and we will be rewarded accordingly. Now, the truth is, you know, we're not quite sure what that reward is. And even other portions of text talk about crowns, you know. But does that matter, what the reward is? No, not really, because, well, the real truth of the matter is we are first and foremost what? We are saved. Praise God. But I find it to be rather humbling to think I'm going to stand before the throne of Christ. I'm going to be standing there. I hope I will be able to stand up a little straighter, maybe with a new back. But nonetheless, you know, however I've used resources that have been given to me will indeed be judged by who? Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ. I wonder how many of you before this sermon may not have ever even heard a sermon about the judgment seat of Christ. If you grew up in the Baptist church, probably you did. You know, But, you know, this doesn't mean that we all have got to go out and be missionaries. But what it does mean is that we do need to be very intentional to do what we can do, to use what we have, to say what we can for the benefit of others and for the glory of God. If we do that, then we are building with gold, silver, and precious stones, as Paul's image tells us. That's where we're at. We'll be in the clouds, assembled with all the saints of the church. But our works will be judged. And so I ask you this morning, do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today is that day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at the Berry Christian Church. We turn to our hymn of invitation, number 218, Thine is the Glory. And for the sake of time, let's just do the first and the last stanzas. First and last stanzas, number 218. May we stand, please. Seated for a moment. We want to celebrate the fact that John Ashworth has decided to come forward and to transfer his membership from the Grace Baptist Church, which is located over on Vivian Road, not far from us here. John actually found out about Berry Christian Church by bowling.
Yeah.
That's right. Bowling. With Perla and with Jerry and Betty Donahue, right? And you all got to talking about the church. And here John is. So see, you never know how valuable and important it is to talk about your church family. Praise God. Praise God. You know, we praise God. And so John, you know, I've certainly enjoyed our conversations, and I've truly appreciated your presence among us. You've even also been sharing with us in the choir, sharing the talent of your voice that God's given you. And based upon your previous confession of faith and your baptism, John, I want to extend the hand of Christian Fellowship and welcome you into the membership here at Berry Christian Church. Welcome, John.
Thank you.
Bless you. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. And he's going to greet you all at the door here in just a moment, but let's have a closing prayer first. Gracious and holy God, we are indeed grateful that John has chosen to come forward and to become a part of our fellowship here at Berry in a most official way here as he's transferring his membership. But we delight in the truth that he already has integrated himself into our fellowship in many ways and been serving you in the capacity of helping us with the choir and other things. Lord, as we all journey forward, we pray your blessing for him and for each of us, that we indeed may glorify your kingdom by what we do and say, so that indeed our works will be like gold and silver and precious stones. For it is in Christ's name that we give thanks. Amen. May we stand for the closing, please.
God be with you till we meet again. Loving counsels guide, uphold you. With the shepherd's care, unfold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet.